Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin in the Old Testament lesson. We wander freely through the gospel lesson and even the psalm. Maybe just a touch of James too. So we begin at the first verse of the Old Testament lesson, and you tell me when I wander off. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we were sitting around pots of food. Oh, that we had the whip of the taskmaster to remember. Oh, that they were forcing us to build pyramids. And oh, that they were saying to us again, make bricks without straw. And oh, that we were back in Egypt." We knew what was coming the next day, didn't we? But now, who knows what's coming tomorrow except this manna. This manna, this bread from heaven, this stuff that God rains down and gives us bread to eat so we don't starve here in the desert. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we had something else than this bread from heaven. Oh, that we had something other than provisions from the hand of God Himself. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. Second verse. Just like the first. Oh, that we were back in our old ways. Oh, that we didn't have to do this stuff of being Christian. It's such a burden having God tell us of sin and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the cross. Oh, that we could wander freely through our lives without worrying about having a soul. Oh, that we could go back to not knowing whether there was life after death or not knowing if there was heaven or hell. Oh, that we didn't have God bothering us and pestering us with His promises every day of our lives. Whoops. Where do we wander off there? This is the Old Testament lesson. The people of Israel, think about it. They see God's judgment. Then there's the Passover and God's hand. Blood of the Lamb on their doors, marking them as redeemed by Christ the Savior. In the form of a cross on the lintel and doorposts. And then the Red Sea dividing in front of them, and God leading them out, and God giving them food day after day after day after day after day, all the way through the desert, and saying, there's a promised land. There's a promised land ahead. Trust me. It'll only be about half a year. And you'll go in and take possession of the... Oh, that we were back in Egypt. We don't want that promised land. There's big people there, and they're going to make war against us. And God, who defeated the Egyptians, surely He can't be there to defend us. Somebody said, quite rightly, that sin means that we are not in our right minds. Yeah, another term for not in your right mind? Insane. Well, there's the indictment. Is it accurate? Does the shoe fit? Pausing to think and thinking carefully, how many ways have we ever thought back over and missed what it was like to not be committed to Jesus Christ and walking with Him? Seriously, thinking about that. I'm not going to presume to name the things inside you that have gone on in the past, or Erlene, or Eileen. Erlene, Eileen. See, they're almost twins, maybe. Not going to presume, Carol. Not going to presume. Art, Willing. Not going to, Paige. Not going to presume. Because I know that if you look inside seriously, you'll see some of the things I see when I do that same exercise with myself. Part two. James says, consider the farmers, consider Job, consider patience, consider what it was all about, consider this, consider that. The patience, the looking forward, the focus, the understanding of the understanding of the goal. Goal. Consider the understanding of the goal that they were heading for and what it meant for them to grab onto that hope. Oh, by the way, it's time for some mockery and ridicule. You don't get this every day in church. You really don't. But here it is, and it comes from the very best preacher of all time. Okay? Hey, has your hand caused you to sin? No, but there's those Pharisees who say you got to be pure to get into heaven. So Jesus holds this up and mocks and ridicules the Pharisees and says, think about what you're doing and what it means. Proceed logically through this. You want to eliminate all sin from your life? You think you can lay claim to the kingdom of heaven by doing that? I'm going to keep the law into heaven. Yeah. I'm going to 10 commandments my way into heaven, okay? James has a few things to say about that, such as he who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point has become guilty of all. Ouch. But Jesus, he does it with a bit more humor. Okay, Pharisees, has your right hand been involved in sin? Cut it off. Cut it off. How about your foot? Has your foot ever been involved in the sins that you committed? Okay, got to get rid of it. Your eyeball? Get rid of it. Okay, what do you call somebody who goes that route? Stumpy. Because how much is left? You're going to go that way? How much of you is left? Has your brain ever been involved in your sinning? Okay. It's got to come out. If you want to go this way, this is the way you do it, right? And so Jesus holds up the Pharisees to mockery and ridicule and says, if you're going to do this, you better do it. And take it seriously, because it's better this than to be thrown into hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Oh. Wow. Not going to get into heaven that way. But oh, that we were back in, that we were back trying to earn our way into heaven and did not know this. This whole business about Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, that we didn't have the cross to say our sins are taken away. Oh, that we didn't have the empty tomb to assure us that there is a resurrection waiting for us. Do we want to go back? Seriously, then. What do you want? What do you want in life? realize that, this is the part where we turn serious, realize that holding on to what is past, trying to hang on to the stuff that's right here and right now, trying to grab a hold of it and not let it slip through our fingers, is what the Old Testament lesson's about. Is there any part of the things of this life that is not already lost, forfeit? It's going to have to be given up, returned to the one who gave it. Didn't belong to you, belongs to God, really. Even your body, even your soul belongs to God. And then, what do you want? One more detour before we get there, and it is into Psalm 16, which is really cool in the middle. Verse 5, verse 6, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. Now, there's history behind you hold my lot, because after Joshua was led by God and the Israelites conquered the land, then they met together and they put all of the properties into, well, in our day and age, it would be put them on pieces of paper into a big drum, and everybody lines up and reaches in. Oh, that's my address. And you could have a beautiful countryside villa overlooking the lake, and you could have hard scrabble soil that you've got to farm. And God decided. For the people of Israel, it was a huge step of faith to say, God has given me my lot in life. And to accept that from the hand of God. But then verse 6, this is David. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Really, David? Really? Your beautiful inheritance, the lines falling in pleasant places, includes being the youngest child and having to live out there with the sheep instead of in the house? That's pleasant places. It includes running for your life, hiding from Saul, living in caves, not knowing when you went to bed at night whether you would wake up in the morning or if Saul's soldiers would find you. Really? It means having to go down to one of the Philistine cities and know that they want to kill you, but in order to pass your way through there, you're going to sit in the gate and act like you're completely raving, stark, insanely mad, and you're going to drool on yourself for their entertainment. Pleasant places? David looks back over everything in his life, and he says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. That line and that lesson comes to us as Christians to look back over everything and say, my life? This is something that individually, I alone, am walking through this life with God. He has been with me from the beginning of my life. He has given every blessing, every trial. Each blessing is from His hand and His alone. Each trial is allowed by God so that He may develop my character. And He knows each one, and He watches over each one, and He guards, and He guides, and He leads me along. And that walk with God, that walk that I get to do with God, no other walk, that one, because He chose to walk that with me. That's a beautiful thing. And then we come back to the surface with the gospel lesson and the disciples saying, "We saw somebody casting out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." And Jesus says, "Wait a minute. Doing it in my name? Well, he's bringing praise to me." Finally, James, John especially here. What do you want, John? Do you want to exercise power and authority and lord it over others? Or do you want the kingdom of heaven? What do you want, John? What do you want? It's now become time to turn it all on its head and look at Jesus and say, "And what did he want? Was it worth it for him? Leaving heaven? Becoming a helpless baby? The smell of the manger in the stable? Mary and Joseph and Jesus running for their lives? 40 days fasting? Mocked and ridiculed and persecuted and followed around and slandered, kneeling in the garden, going to the cross? Was it worth it? What did he want?" And Jesus pursued what he wanted with a single-minded focus. What did he want? Hebrews chapter 12, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." For the joy set before him, enduring all those things. And the joy set before him was you and me. In relationship with Jesus, enjoying his blessings, going on through all eternity, him and us, him and you individually. That's what he wanted. What an amazing Savior. In his name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.